So this morning, the passage that we're looking at talks about fear, talks about death, talks about blood, quite some gruesome things. But I thought, let's have a look at fears. So does anyone here have a particular thing or something that they are afraid of? Laura?
Spiders.
Anyone else? Emily?
Snakes.
Even the fake ones. There's a few pranks in there, I think. Anyone else? Liz?
Not knowing what you're supposed to be doing.
Not knowing what you're supposed to be doing. That's a good one. Paul?
Flowers
in like bread flour. You don't like the feel. I'm sure there's a word for that, but go on, David. Your mum dying. That's the thing that quite a lot of us are scared of, I think. Yeah. Any other fears that there are? Go on, Emily. Tarantulas. Ooh, they're a bit hairy and scary, aren't they? June, did you have one? Not feeling you've done enough with your life before. So there's lots of fears, aren't there? But we're going to have a look at the fear of death later, and we're going to see that we don't need to be afraid of anything. We don't need to be afraid of death anymore. But I thought I'd give you a little bit of story about the time I was afraid. So it was about 5 years ago. Alice and I went to Paris on a romantic weekend in the middle of November, so it was a bit cold, but it was nice anyway. And we went to Notre Dame. It's a really big cathedral, really big church in the city, and what you can do is you can climb up the top of it. This is a view from the top. I don't like heights, but Alice managed to persuade me to go up there, and so I was going up the steps kind of bit by bit as you're going up, and they get narrower and narrower and you get steeper and steeper, and you come out the top and you look down, you're like, ooh, I don't want to look down there. But they had these mesh, this net in the way. But I still didn't want to go anywhere near that, because I'm like, that mesh is going to break. I know it's not going to hold my weight. Alice, on the other hand, was very happy just standing there and watching and looking at the view. And you can see the Eiffel Tower in the background. Then, on another bit, there wasn't any mesh. You're just walking along the roof. I was petrified. I thought, any minute, I'm just going to slip and fall. But fortunately, I kept safe. But I didn't massively enjoy being up there. I wasn't very excited about being up high. So that's my fear of height. We've heard some other fears. Let's have a little bit of a quiz now. Anyone know what the fear of spiders is called? Arachnophobia. Yes. Okay, how about a fear of being in tight spaces or not feeling in lots of spaces? Thomas? Claustrophobia, yeah. How about the fear of strangers or foreigners? Xenophobia. Getting a bit political. How about the fear of numbers? We're getting a bit harder now. Discalculus. It's called arithmophobia. I think quite a lot of us have that fear, I think, when you see numbers. How about a fear of Christmas? There is a fear of Christmas. I'll be amazed if anyone gets this one. I might take a few attempts to pronounce it. Ezra, what's the fear of Christmas?
Snowman.
Yes, there is a snowman. Christogeniaticophobia. Say that quickly three times and you'll get yourself in a bit of a twist. How about the fear of death? No, it's not a spider web. Anyone? This is necrophobia. So we're going to have a look at that a little bit later. But first, before we look at that, Alice is going to come now, and Alice is going to lead us in our prayers. So Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who hold the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So keep those Bibles open. I'm going to need some help fairly soon from some children, so I'll ask for that in a minute. But let me just pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to us of Jesus, of who he is and what he came to do. Pray that this morning you might speak to our hearts and minds and teach us more about you. And pray that we might be able to live our lives in response to that and be really excited at Christmas. Amen. So it might seem really strange to be looking at those verses this morning. They talk about blood, they talk about death, they talk about the devil, slavery and fear. So why are we looking at all of those things on the day before Christmas? Normally, we might think at Christmas of Jesus wrapped up snugly in his blanket in a manger, surrounded by his parents, surrounded by some animals, some shepherds, some wise men. Many of us have heard the story lots. We've been to nativity plays. Maybe you've been in a nativity. Who's been in a nativity play this year? Lots of us, probably about five or six, have been in a nativity. So the traditional nativity scene that you might be thinking of seems to be a long way from those verses that we've just read. But this morning we're going to see that actually the two couldn't be closer. Maybe instead of being too familiar with this scene, maybe we need to ask ourselves, was Jesus just a cute little baby? Was that all he was? Why did he come down to earth as a human? What did he come here to do? Well, that's what these verses here that we've read tell us. These verses come from a book called the Book of Hebrews, and that has lots of verses in it telling us about who Jesus is. And it compares Jesus to lots of people from the Old Testament, and it explains how Jesus is better than them all. Jesus is our priest. He acts as the bridge between us and between God. And we'll hear more about that tomorrow. So let's focus in on these two verses this morning, verses 14 and 15. And we're going to pull them apart. What kind of things do we pull apart at Christmas? Go on, Phoebe. Wrapping paper. You may have noticed some presents down at the bottom here. I've got six presents. So I need six volunteers. I'll ask four in a minute. We'll do them one at a time. And I apologise to parents for breaking the normal convention of opening presents on Christmas Day rather than Christmas Eve. Anyway, who would like to open present number one? I think Ted has been very eager since about an hour ago. Ted, can you find present number one, please, and open it and show everyone else what's inside? No, turn around. Show everyone else. Open the box. Inside the box. Oh, the other way around. The other way around. Oh!
Oh, yay!
And the other bit. And the other bit. So, Ted, can you read out what's on that bit of paper for me, please?
Children.
Children. Are there any children here? Oh, there's one. We've got lots of children, haven't we? What do all children have in common?
Friends.
Friends, Thomas? Young. I'm a child. Is anyone else here a child? Mums and dads. All children have biological parents. Yeah? In these verses, so if we look back at verse 14, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, these children that the writer is talking about, he's talking about God's people. If we believe in Jesus, who he is, and what he's done for us, then all of us can be part of God's family. And the Bible tells us that we are adopted as his children. Thanks, Ted. Right, so I need another volunteer now. A few more hands. Yeah, you're allowed to keep the sweet. Go on, Thomas. Present number two, please, Thomas. Turn around. Flesh and blood. So let's have a look in verse 14 again. Since the children have flesh and blood, here we go, that's a picture of a human body and all the blood and the veins that run all around your body. That's amazing, isn't it? Is there anyone here who doesn't have flesh or blood? No? Everyone here has flesh and blood. Good. We are all human. We all have skin. So if you pinch yourself, that's your flesh, or you poke yourself, we all have blood. When you cut yourself, you bleed. Can you see the veins on your hands or your arms? So inside all of those, your blood is being pumped around your body, taking oxygen and energy to everything that needs it. It goes all the way back to your heart to get more oxygen and energy, and then round the body all over again. It's saying, it's another way of saying in this verse, that God's children are human. So children, they're God's people, and they have flesh and blood. They are human. Sorry? Is it your go? Maybe later. I need another volunteer, please, for present number three. Let's go to the other side of the room. Let's go for James. Turn it around and show everyone. So shared humanity. So Jesus shared our humanity. If you look in verse 14, it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too, so the he is Jesus. Jesus shared our humanity. So since the children of God are human, we all have flesh and blood. Jesus came down to earth to share that humanity with us. Just as we have flesh and blood, so did Jesus. He was just like any other human. So when he scratched himself, he was hurt, he bled, he slept, he walked, he ate. Maybe not pizza, but he ate. He cried, he was happy, he was sad. Jesus was a human, just like you and just like me. So we've seen in verse 14 that because God's people are human, Jesus came down and shared that humanity with us too. That's the first main point. The next part of the verse, verses 14 and 15, are give a reason. So we have, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that, let's have a look at box number four. Another volunteer, please. Let's go for George. What's that say, George?
By his death.
So that by his death. There's a picture of a cross there. That's Jesus died on the cross. This is part of Jesus' purpose. This is part of why he came down to earth. He came down to earth as a man to die on the cross despite never doing anything wrong. So Jesus came down to earth. He became human, so that he could bleed and die on the cross for God's children. Thank you, George. Okay, another volunteer, please. Who we have? Oh dear. Go on, Hannah. Number 5. So that by his death he could break the power of death and the devil. So Jesus died on the cross, he was human. This is what Jesus' death achieved. Jesus wasn't just fully human, he was also fully God. And because he lived the perfect life, he didn't do anything wrong, Jesus' death meant that the power of the devil was defeated. The power of death that the devil had was broken. And we know this because Jesus just didn't die on the cross. He also came back to life again. And he showed us that he had really beaten death. Okay, the last box. Go on, let's have another James. So freedom from slavery and the fear of death. Thank you, James. So, does anyone here know what slavery is? Anyone tell me? Phoebe. So you serve people. Is it a nice thing? No, it's not a nice thing, is it? Do you get paid? Do you get paid if you're a slave? No. So it's when someone forces someone else to work for them without paying them. So that person who's working is trapped. They have to carry on working with no hope of escape, no hope of freedom. So what these Bible verses tell us is that because Jesus beat death and beat the devil, we don't need to be afraid of death or the devil anymore. Before Jesus came down to earth, everyone was under God's judgment. We were all destined for death. We were in slavery to a fear of that death. But now, because Jesus came down to earth, he has beaten death. He has set his people free from that slavery. So instead of our lives being centered around death and trying to avoid it, our lives can be centered around life, the eternal life that Jesus brings. That's what Jesus came down to earth to do. So I've just highlighted those words that we looked at this morning. I hope you now see how these verses are actually very relevant to Christmas. At Christmas time and throughout the rest of the year, we remember that Jesus came down to earth to share in our humanity. Christmas is one time in the year when we remember that Jesus became human. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And these verses, in verses 14 and 15, also tell us of his purpose, why Jesus came down to earth. He wasn't just a cute little baby. He didn't just come down for fun and see what was going on. He came down to defeat the devil and to free us from the fear of death. So if we put our trust in Jesus, death, human death, is no longer the end. We have eternal life with him forever. We no longer need to live in the here and now, trying to get lots of money and cars and possessions and things, and then try and pass them on to our children. That's no longer our ultimate goal in life, if we trust in Jesus. So instead of living for today, we can live looking forward to the future, to the eternal hope that we have in heaven. So when we open our presents tomorrow, maybe we can remember the amazing present that Jesus gives us, the gift of himself, the gift of eternal life. And all of those presents in the world could never come anywhere close to matching that gift that Jesus gives us.